Good evening. Good to see each and every one of you. I moved down this way because I couldn't hear you up there. So, but I will stay here since I'm not wearing a mask. If you see me wander, please stop me. Also, if you would, try to keep about a couple chapters ahead of me. When we finish tonight, try to stay in two chapters ahead. That will help out, I think, for you and me also from things, because I don't know basically how we're going to progress. And the second thing is that this is not particularly my class, it's our class. If you got any questions or any comments, I know it's reviewed. Some things I'm going to leave out, but if it's something important you want me to bring up, please bring it up, or you can talk to me later, and I'll try to put it back in there. So with that in mind, let's do a little bit of review of a reading. And we did chapter 1 and half of, say, chapter 2 last Wednesday. And we start off with, in chapter 1, where Christ tells them about the promise that's going to be come to them, that they're going to be to the disciples or to his apostles, that they were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he had talked to them, and like we said before, we read in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, where God has said that they were going to have, that the promise would come to them. The Holy Spirit, what two reasons did he list in John for the Holy Spirit, for the apostles? You remember? The Holy Spirit was going to help them what? Remember scriptures. What's the second one? Be witness. They're going to be a witness to Christ. What he taught. His death, burial, and resurrection. They witnessed this. Because that was one of the qualifications, remember, is when they had to replace Judas. So the Holy Spirit is essential for them. And you're going to see, if you're doing your daily Bible reading, you know, had just finished Matthew, now you're Mark, how the disciples were. You look at them and says, how come they're not getting the story? Well, they're still mindset as if on the physical kingdom. They're not on the spiritual kingdom. But now once they get the Holy Spirit, once we see this, and once they had it, you'll see it in chapter 2, where they can remember the scriptures, and they talk about Jesus Christ being their witness for him and his resurrection. And then when we get in chapter 4, you're going to see how they're boldly teaching. You can see a big difference in it. So Christ had told them then that you will receive, in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He had told them about beforehand, they're going to be tarried into Jerusalem there because you're going to receive the promise from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And here he talked about you're going to be baptized in the Spirit. And he says, also, you're going to have power with that. And it says, when the Holy Spirit falls upon you or comes on you. And then you see the ascension of Christ. Now, they're basically are at Mount Olivet. And you see where Christ is taken up. And the angels there tell them that as you see him go up, that's where you'll see him come back. And that's the period of time that we're in. We're waiting for him to come back. That's the day. Judgment day. And then he begins on and talk about they're going to have to replace Judas. Because Judas hanged himself. And so they're going to replace it. And so they gave some certain qualifications that they have to meet for that. It says in verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, that's Christ, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And so They prayed about it, and they cast lot, and Matthias was the one that was chosen. So he's the one that's going to take Judas' place. Then we get into chapter 2, that's when they become the day of Pentecost. They're tearing in Jerusalem like God had told them to. So they're tearing into Jerusalem, and the Spirit does come upon them. Now, how does the Spirit come upon them? Okay, you hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind. What else?
Like woven tongues of fire.
Tongues that are on fire set up on each one of them. Here you see them. What else do they do? How can you tell? All right, speaking in another tongue, different languages. And you see that there's, in this time, Pentecost, there is a number of Jews there from all around. And they've been taken, they're talking about, and they gave a description of where they're all from. Then he says in verse 12, they said, all the people were. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? What did they do? Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They're filled now with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What did they say? What did they say in those tongues? To what? The wonderful words of God. That's what they describe. And so you can see, they were amazed at this. You just think about it, if you were there. And you're seeing this. You hear these Galileans speaking. They know they're Galileans. And they're speaking in their own language. They're hearing with their own language. They know something's up. What can this mean? That's the question. All right, a good point for Peter. Peter stands up at 11. He starts preaching to them, teaching to them. And he tells them, well, some people say, well, they were just drunk. He said, no, we're not drunk. Then he goes to the prophet Joel. And he says in verse 17, this is found in Joel, the second chapter, 28-32, I believe. But he starts in 17, he said, and it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And this is what he said, this is what you're seeing here. A happening. And you see here now, here they're being filled with the Holy Spirit. They can remember the scriptures here. That says they put the two to two together. Then he goes down in verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what they mean. That's what they're going to get to. All right, that's where we left off. We're going to be now starting verse 22. Peter is the one that's speaking. And he comes up from the people and says, tells them about, you know, it really takes to me way he taught, it does take some courage with it. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you, what? By miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. You know what he did. You saw the sign. You saw the miracle. You saw the wonders. But what did you do? Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. And now he's going to talk about David and his prophecy. Verse 25 said, for David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at the right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in Hades. Now, is he talking about who? How do you know that? Tells it in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely, like he hasn't been speaking freely. Let me speak freely to you of the patriarch death, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. But what does that mean? It's not David he was talking about. David is prophesying about the Christ, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one that you killed. And you have seen his signs and wonders and miracles, but what did you do? You crucified him. Killed him. But God wasn't like going to let that happen. He was already prophesied that his body would not corrupt. And he will not be what? In Hades. Alright. Here's some, a little bit more. He said, this Jesus, this who God, that this man that you crucified, this Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Now, we're going to bring you to remembrance. The Holy Spirit is going to bring you to remembrance about his life, but also you're going to understand about the scriptures, the prophecies. And you understand now what the prophecies were? That's what he's using them. And he explains to them what the prophecies were. These prophecies were Jesus, and he fulfilled. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. David was not talking about himself, but he was talking about Christ the Messiah. And God fulfilled it all by he raised him up from the dead. And his body did not corrupt. Then he tells him on and says, verse 33. I want to go down this way. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God. And who's that, the right hand of God? That's Jesus. That's who he's speaking about. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. God had promised the Holy Spirit, and Christ is going to give to them. He, let's see, lost my place. Verse 33. From the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Christ, poured out this which you now see and hear. Now, what was he just talking about? It says, whatever could this mean? Peter is telling them now that the man that you crucified, that you put to death, he's the Messiah. He's the Christ. And he done it, and he used some prophecies that says he fulfilled this. And then he says, now, Christ pour out the Holy Spirit, and you now see and hear. This is what you're seeing when we're speaking in tongues, in your own language, and you're seeing it. Now, we had talked about before, water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism, not the same thing. There's two different baptisms. And here you got poured out. The terminology for Holy Spirit baptism is different from the terminology of water baptism. Who baptizes with the Spirit? Is anybody here can baptize with the Holy Spirit? Christ and God. Now, who can baptize with water? Yeah, I can baptize with water, but I can't baptize with the Holy Spirit. What effect did this have upon the people? Ken?
They were actually pricked in the heart to the fact that they crucified this Christ that brings from the dead. It's burdened to ask that question that we all must ask, and that's what must we do to be saved? And that's astonishing because Christ, when the preacher there, you know, it's daily according to Scripture, you know. Or as David said, he said, his Lord, you know, comes in from right here. And you, what David was talking about, that he was Christ, was talking about, that he was Christ, you know, in heaven, sitting at the right inside with God, you know. And here this same person did put to death. That would strike fear in your heart, too, I would think. Since they were pricked in the heart, they got the message.
Let me go back to saying I forgot my conclusion, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, the one we're talking about, the one that you crucified, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I don't know about you, but that would be music to my ears if somebody, if I preach a lesson like that or talk a lesson like that, with it, tell them what they did, and they come along and says, what shall we do? Don't make any excuses, no matter alibis, try to argue with you, fight you, call you names, whatever. But they were sincere. They understood the predicament that they were in. And he asked a question. What shall we do? Peter gives them an answer. He tells them verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent. Well, what's repent? It means to change your mind. Well, what did you do? You crucified Christ. Do you think you need a change in mind? What you did? Change your attitude, mindset? You repent of this. And let every one of you be baptized. Now, this is water baptism. That's not, we're talking about Holy Spirit. This is water baptism, what Peter's talking about. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This is by the authority of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, for the remission of sins. That's what they're asking for. That's their question. They were wanting to know, what can we do? We made horrible decisions. We got caught up. Whatever. We were there. And we were kept in our tongues, no, crucified. We'll let the murderer go, but we want Christ crucified. And they were cut to their heart or pricked to their hearts so much so that they wanted to know, how can we have salvation? How can we be saved from this? And he tells them that. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right. Question. What's the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Salvation.
Salvation. Salvation. Is the gift the Holy Spirit or the Spirit or the gift from the Holy Spirit? You have to look at the context. With it. And if you remember what we talked about when we first did this, it is. Look into the context what we're talking about here. The gift that basically is what? What hand did the Spirit have in salvation? Can you name anything? What hand, what does the part does the Holy Spirit have in salvation? If he's giving you the gift, what part does he give you? Was the Holy Spirit there in the Old Testament? Was the Holy Spirit there in the Old Testament? What we've been talking about, he was talking about prophecies here. And these prophecies, who's fulfilling these prophecies about the Messiah? It's Christ. And there are other prophecies too, but what he's talking about. Joel, where did he get this from? Where did David get this from? Where is Peter getting this information from to tell you this information for you people for salvation from the Holy Spirit? That's your gift, the Holy Spirit. He's revealing to you salvation. And we have it in front of us right now. That gift. And this is nothing to take light of. They understood the seriousness of their condition that they were in. Let me tell you, that they were in serious condition. You think about it. If I was there, and I was one of them, and I said, yeah, I crucified Jesus there. I got caught up in a wrath of that thing. And I listened to him, Peter, speak now. And he speaks in these hard words. That you're the ones. You let the murderer go, and they're the prince of life, you kill. So, the promise now. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, do they understand all this? I don't know. I'm probably pretty doubtful about the far off. And they may be thinking, well, Jews in foreign countries, foreign lands. Or when we go, when these people go back, they can teach these people these things. But the far off is the Gentiles. Do they understand it? I don't know. Any questions or comments upon that part? Okay. Now, It cut the heart in verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000. And what did they do after baptism? 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teachings of the apostles, and fellowship, the fellowship with the apostles and with one another, and in the breaking of bread. In this context, I think he's talking about the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. This is what they were doing afterwards when they become disciples of Christ. And he talks about in the latter part here, look at verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul. Fear in this word is more like an awe or with that. The why. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Think about all the stuff you see is going on. We don't have any example, but we'll have one in this, at the third chapter. But you imagine them seeing all this, and not only the disciples, but all the other Jews too around about. The wonders and signs. Where do they get this power from? You think that doesn't increase curiosity in some of these Jews here, what's going on? Then he says that they were all together. They weren't in separate groups. They were not this denomination or that denomination. They were all together in one accord. They were of the one mindset to do that which is right, abiding in the apostles' doctrines and teaching. And that's what they were doing daily. They had all things in common. If somebody needs something, you got these people from far away. And they wanted to stay there because they wanted to get as much truth and knowledge as they can about the kingdom. And so they're helping each other out. And you see a unity there that you is pretty good. They're all with one accord. They're not divided up in fractions or separated. But they're together. Any other questions, comments upon that second chapter? All right, let's go to chapter 3. All right, now you're going to see one of the signs, one of the wonders here, if you want to, a miracle that's going to be performed. And we talked about in the second chapter, they're meeting there at the temple. They're coming together. And here you got Peter and John are going into the temple. And it's what time of day is it? Anybody?
9th hour, 6 o'clock.
What?
9th hour or 6 o'clock in the evening.
What time is it in the evening?
9 o'clock in the morning, isn't it?
Huh? Peter and John were going into the temple at the 9th hour, which would be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. Day starts at 6 a.m. All right? So at 3 o'clock, what time did they go for prayer? Well, here he's talking about it, 3 o'clock in this one. They were there. They're getting ready to go in. He says, you know, time is further described as the hour of prayer. This is not the only time. But they go in here at 3 o'clock, going in, and there's this man by the gate. The gate called Beautiful. And since his mother's, or from the womb, or since he was born, not able to walk. So what is he doing? He's sitting out there asking people to give him money, charity, so he can live. Asking for alms. What did Peter tell him? That's right. But what do I have? What can he give him? Would you like to have the ability to walk? I can do that for you. Verse 4 says, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter says, look at us. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive what? Something from him. And he's out there asking for alms. So Peter asks if you look at us. And he's going to give me attention. So, he's going to give me something good. But it says, though, silver and gold I do not have. Well, wait a minute. That's what I need, silver and gold. I got to have money, alms. But what I do have, I will give you. And well, he said, well, it's going to be something else. He tells them, though, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can you imagine hear him saying, listen to Peter saying that? We find out in chapter 4, he's 40 years old. He has not been able to walk all this period of time. And he tells him, says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you rise up and walk. And Peter took him by that right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. What an effect that had upon this gentleman that's been this way for this long period of time. What effect did it have on the people that sees him? What does this gentleman do? What does this man do when he finds out he can walk? He walks, he leaps, and he's hanging on to Peter and John, going into the temple. And people look around and say, wait a minute, who is this leaping in here? And cause a commotion that way. People come around, look at him, and say, look, is this the guy that's been out there? We walked right past him this morning or just later earlier, and he was out there asking for alms. And now he's up walking. It got the attention of the people. That's what it did. This miracle, this sign, this wonder has an effect, not only on the one that receives it, but also upon the other people. And that's the whole idea, is to get the effect upon the other people to stop and listen to what Peter's going to talk to them about. And tell them about Jesus Christ. He's going to tell them, don't look at us. It's not my power. I don't have it. But I can tell you. It's just like to tell a man, I don't have money. I don't have no silver and gold. But I can tell you what I can do for you. I can give you strength back in your legs. And you can walk for the first time. And he did. Can you imagine this? What a great joy and feeling that he has of this. And then also all the other people around about. Because they've seen him for I don't know how long. And they're asking questions now. And Peter's going to take the opportunity, which we'll talk about next Wednesday. Thank you. Appreciate it.